Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 50 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Logan Pemberton.
Every year, it seems, when they go through this for their budget, our issue is revenue. That is something that's not being addressed.
The Rowan County Education Association will host a meeting on Thursday to discuss the pension crisis.
Four people are charged with murder after a shooting in Winchester left two teens dead.
The Moorhead City Council has a special meeting tomorrow.
The City of Maysville received an award for project investment.
The Grayson Gallery and Arts Center has received a grant.
In sports, MSU's football team is preparing for a road trip on Saturday.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy tonight with lows around 34. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Four people are in custody after a shooting in Winchester left two teenagers dead. According to WKYT, police charged 18-year-old Michaela Buford with murder. According to her arrest citation, Winchester police say she drove three people who were involved in a gunfight to the scene. Police also charged 24-year-old Denzel Hill and 22-year-old Darian Skinner with murder. Just before noon today, Ronnie Ellis arrived at the police station claiming to be the fourth person involved. He was later charged with complicity to murder. The Clark County coroner identified the victims as two 16-year-olds, Kayla Holland and Adriana Castro. The shooting happened around 9 p.m. in the parking lot of the Washington Street Apartments on Washington Street.
A grand jury handed down 33 drug indictments in Powell County on Monday. The Powell County Sheriff's Office and other agencies went out to round up the suspects this morning. According to WKYT, the Sheriff's Department named the roundup Operation ROG in honor of Powell County Sheriff's Deputy Robert ROG Matthews, who passed away 2.5 months ago. Police brought the people they arrested to the Stanton Fire Station for processing. A Powell County judge arraigned those arrested this afternoon. Stanton Police, Kentucky State Police, Montgomery County Sheriff's Office, Menifee County Sheriff's Office, and the U.S. Forestry Department assisted with the roundup. Probation and parole officers were also on hand.
The Rowan County Education Association will host an informational meeting about pension reforms and their impact on teachers as well as other public service employees. The meeting will be held tomorrow at 4 p.m. in the Rowan County Middle School cafeteria. James Hood is co-president of the RCEA. He says Senator Steve West, who represents Rowan County, has agreed to attend the meeting as well as discuss some of the reform plans that have been offered.
The take I get from it is that he is willing to address funding, but he said time is of the constraints right now because they need to get this figured out, and, you know, there's a shortfall of several hundred million dollars. And so there's not time to address funding.
Hood says so far West has not committed to a no vote for the pension reform plan proposed by Governor Matt Bevin.
The executive director of the Kentucky Association of School Superintendents is backing a shared responsibility pension proposal. Tom Shelton was recently bashed by Governor Matt Bevin for proposing school teachers and others have their voices heard in the state capitol if the special session to work on the state pension crisis took place during the school year. Shelton tells Spectrum News' Pure Politics his organization admits that change needs to happen.
There is no one that I know of who is saying status quo. You know, the first thing that I thought of when the governor and the General Assembly brought attention to this issue was thank you, thank you, thank you. This issue deserves the attention that they brought to it, and we applaud them for doing so.
Shelton says the state has eight different pension systems, and he feels that a one-size-fits-all approach to fixing the system will not be effective in Kentucky.
The U.S. House of Representatives approved a bill on Friday to refinance the Children's Health Insurance Program, but did not know the financing details. A separate Republican bill is currently going through the House to provide funding for CHIP. Elliot Fishman is with Families USA. He says as time continues, funds are running out and the states are struggling to keep the program going.
We'll start to see families getting notices that CHIP enrollment is getting frozen or that kids with existing coverage will start to get cut off. And those notices are going to start to go out in the first states later in November.
Fishman adds the plan would cancel health insurance programs if any individual's marketplace premium is just 1 month overdue. Almost 700,000 people may lose insurance every year if the plan is passed. The GOP bill would get rid of a large amount of funding for public health services, pregnant women, and children until billing issues are resolved. Proponents for the bill say it would add an estimated $1.5 trillion to the federal budget deficit over 10 years. We'll have more of your region's headlines after this.
Support for MSPR provided by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated and sponsor of Moorhead's Hometown Holidays. On Saturday, December 2nd, the Appalachian Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair at Moorhead State University, Hometown Holiday on Main Street, and Cave Run Symphony Orchestra concert at the Moorhead Conference Center. The Moorhead Rowan County Christmas Dinner is Thursday, December 7th at the Carl Perkins Center, and Christmas Parade on Main Street Friday, December 8th. Events and information on Facebook under Downtown Moorhead.
A special meeting will be held Thursday at noon for the Moorhead City Council. The first reading of an ordinance that paves the way for the city to finance the Perkins property is the only item on the agenda, with the second reading taking place during the council's regular monthly meeting on Monday. Mayor Jim Tom Trent says the council will not announce the plans for the property until after this part of the process is complete.
We're waiting on a potential other partner to help us with some of our preliminary plans, and we will be able to let everyone know that when that time comes.
Trent says the city plans to finance $750,000 to purchase the property. The Moorhead Tourism Board agreed to supply another $250,000 for the purchase.
With one construction project coming to an end soon, the Rowan campus of Maysville Community and Technical College is already planning to start another one. Work on the school's new $28 million campus center is expected to be completed by the end of this month at the MMRC Industrial Park off Kentucky 801. While that's happening, Director and MCTC Chief Operating Officer Russ Ward says the Rowan campus is getting ready to build another structure right next to it in the spring.
The cost of that project will be around $4.5 to $5 million, which, you know, that's through the federal government. And we'll have all of our high bay programs there, things like welding, construction technology, diesel, auto, and our HVAC programs.
Ward says workers from the industrial park have begun doing some more core drilling in preparation of starting construction on MCTC Rowan's second new facility.
A group of 80 people are working to build Moorhead State University's new strategic plan. It includes faculty and staff members along with students, alums, and local residents. MSU President Dr. J. Morgan says the idea is to have the draft replacement finished in December and ready for public review and comment by the following month.
Our goal is to probably forward that to the Board of Regents at the early spring board meeting, and then let them think about it for a month or two, and then probably formally adopt that plan, or request that they adopt that plan probably at the late spring meeting. Okay. And that will take effect and be our new five-year strategic plan.
Moorhead State needs a new strategic plan because its current one expires next year.
Maysville has received a newly initiated award. Site Selection magazine has given the Mason County seat its first ever Great River Cup. The honor is given to the municipality in the Ohio River Corridor that per capita has the best corporate facility project investments. Maysville beat out several cities for the cup, including Louisville, Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh. Mayor David Cartmell calls winning it a pleasant surprise.
You know, we are a city that's on the comeback, finally. And, I mean, we knew that there was a need for employment here. We knew about our expansions, but I never dreamed that per capita it would be, leading a lot of the other major job markets in the state.
In choosing Maysville for the Great River Cup Award, Site Selection magazine notes that the city of just under 18,000 residents had four projects initiated there in the last year and a half. It also lauded the town for the continued hiring that's been occurring at its Mitsubishi Electric, Stober Drives, and MACA facilities.
Greenup County Commissioner Billy Ray Stevens has died after a battle with cancer. The Daily Independent reports Stevens died yesterday morning at the age of 76. The Democrat served on the Greenup Fiscal Court for nearly 11 years and made a name for himself in the timber business. His fellow commissioners tell the Ashland paper that Stevens was perpetually happy even after being diagnosed with cancer late this summer. He is also remembered as being honest and steadfast in his decision-making on the court. The commissioners have 30 days to fill Stevens' seat in the 3rd District, or the appointment falls to the governor. The seat is up for election in 2018.
The Grayson Gallery and Arts Center has received a grant that will help offer informational sessions to non-traditional family members raising children. WMKY's Kenzie Thompson has more.
The Art Meets Activism grant was presented by the Kentucky Foundation for Women. According to the Journal Times, the grant will fund sessions that are intended to provide information about available resources to grandparents, aunts, uncles, or any other non-traditional family member raising children. These families are called grandfamilies. The KFW wants to provide a place where grandfamilies can come get help from peers who are experiencing similar struggles and understand the challenges of raising a child. Experts from the community will be there to share information about resources for these families. The sessions will also include music, art, and drama for the children, as well as a calm atmosphere for the adults to learn about all of their resources. The sessions will begin on Tuesday, November 14th at the Grayson Gallery and Arts Center. For WMKY News, I'm Kinsey Thompson.
Shipping goods through the use of Kentucky's waterways will soon be more efficient. Spectrum News reports that during a Tuesday meeting of the state's Interim Joint Committee of Transportation, key improvements to waterway infrastructure were discussed. One major change will be the replacement of two Ohio River lock and dam structures across from Illinois. According to U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Colonel Antoinette Gant, that should come as good news to companies that have to ship a lot of their products. Gant says sending cargo through waterways is much more cost-efficient than using traditional land transportation.
Waterway transportation also alleviates highway congestion. A 15-bar tow, common on the Ohio River, has the same capacity as 800 trucks and over 200 rail cars.
Gant says the two old dams noted will be replaced as part of the $3 million Olmsted project. They are scheduled to be fully operational by late 2018.
Solar power means bigger electricity bills for non-solar customers. WMKY's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
Bryden Ross is with the Consumer Energy Alliance. He spoke with the Interim Joint Committee on Natural Resources and Energy in Frankfurt. According to the Legislative Research Committee, Ross said private credits given to solar customers who participate in programs like net metering allows those customers to avoid paying costs that most consumers on the grid pay. Ross said the issue is that net metering customers in Kentucky are paid a retail rate that's 3 times a competitive market rate. Competitive rates in the current market is the goal of CEA and its over 250 member companies. For WMKY News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the rest of this week into the weekend. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 34. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 54. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low around 28. Friday, sunny with a high near 39. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 24. And for your Veterans Day, mostly sunny with a high near 48. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 36. And Sunday, a 50% chance of showers, mainly after 8 a.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 52. Taking a look at the current temperatures, it is 49 degrees here in Moorhead, 48 degrees in Flemingsburg, Lexington, and Winchester, 47 degrees in Ashland, and it is 44 degrees in Inez.
On our feature segment today, we have Neighbors, Adrian Swain's Conversations with Our Culturally Diverse Appalachian Community. Today we hear from Sara Lindsay, now an Associate Professor of Education at Moorhead State University. Born in England and raised in New Zealand, Sara lived for several years in Australia and Japan before marriage brought her to the USA.
I was born in Haswell in England. When I was 3 years old, my whole family went to New Zealand. That's where I grew up. My parents had some friends in England. Their husband became a minister. They came out to New Zealand when I was about 13. So my parents said, "You can come and stay with us." This family started telling us all about God in a different way. So I started to become more involved in the evangelical movement. My mother had been really sick. We were dealing with issues in the home, and they weren't taking it kindly. there I was, telling them that I was now a Christian, because they believed all their lives that they had been. I decided that once I left home, I would become far more involved in the evangelical movement. I chose a university that was as far away possible, South Island, and that was where a lot of the Lord of the Rings was shot. I went through my teaching degree, taught for a couple of years, and then I went through a Bible college. I took time out and I went back to Britain and got to meet a lot of people, and I'm really so glad that I did that. Great aunts and great uncles and old family friends and my godmother and people that I couldn't remember because I was three when we left. Then I went on to Japan. The first couple of years were full-time language study, but I also started getting involved with working with university students, and I was involved in preaching at one particular church once a month. My intention was to be there for my entire life. By the end of that 5 years, I was exhausted. One of the things that I had planned to do was to go to the University of Wales and study a master's degree in applied English language studies. And then I came back to New Zealand. I was supposed to be going back to Japan. I guess I came to the point where I realized I was never going to be ready to go back. The only thing that I knew to do at that point was to go back teaching. I started exploring the internet. When I met one particular character, he was living in Louisiana. We started to become friends. And then we got engaged. Originally, Peter was going to come to New Zealand, but because of what he was qualified to do, it was going to be much more difficult for him to get a job in New Zealand than it would be for me to get one here. February 2000, that's when I finally arrived in the United States.
Married in Louisiana.
Yes. For me, it was way more culture shock than I'd experienced even in Japan. I'd come from a school where we had 42 languages spoken, the school that I last taught at. People from, obviously, from all over the world. My classes just looked like rainbows. Yeah, I had people of different cultures, different religions, different languages, and it was awesome. And then come here, and basically there were two, and they were separated. There was a town right next door to Monroe called West Monroe, started by two white guys who wanted to start a town that was white. And so there was this black-white divide, and the schools reflected that. 99% white schools and 99% black schools, all pretty close together. I wasn't quite sure what to do, so I enrolled in their EDD program.
You got your doctorate.
I got a job at Arkansas State University in a satellite campus for a year. We decided to come here, 2005. I'm working in the Department of Middle Grades and Secondary Education, so mostly I'm teaching people who want to become teachers. I think one thing that I have learned, people hurt, people laugh, people think things are funny, everywhere. I don't care who my neighbours are, as long as I can have a nice conversation with them. They may look different, they may speak a different language, but we have so much in common because we're all human.
Sarah, thank you very much for sharing your story with us today.
You're welcome.
It's 4:48 and 48 degrees in Moorhead. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers. Here with Logan Pemberton, and we are so glad you've joined us on this Wednesday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the City of Moorhead, a trail town community in eastern Kentucky located near I-64 within the Daniel Boone National Forest. Home to Moorhead State University, St. Clair Healthcare, and Cave Run Lake, the City of Moorhead supports community livability, economic prosperity, educational enrichment, cultural outreach, and recreational engagement. The City of Moorhead can be reached at 606-784-8505, Facebook, and online at moorhead-ky.gov.
Eagles hit the road. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. Braxton Howard, the Moorhead State football team is getting ready for a PFL visit Saturday to Marist. It's been a tough year for the 3-6 Eagles, but head coach Rob Tenier insists his players haven't been pressing.
Not really, because I think the thing that we've tried to do internally is just try to simplify some things and not ask them to do too much. I think that, you know, when the season tends to go this direction, I think that, you know, from a coaching standpoint, you take fault in that and maybe asking your players to do and learn too much. And so we've really tried to simplify things and let them go out and play. But with that being said, you got to prepare each week for a new opponent.
Like MSU, Marist is just 3-6 overall this season. The two teams also have identical 2-4 conference records. Those frustrated by the 6-3 Kentucky football team's lack of consistency shouldn't be. That word comes from head coach Mark Stoops. Stoops says when you're dealing with 18-23-year-old college students who have a lot of things on their minds, inconsistency just comes with the territory.
Take a look around college football and see some of the scores out there, and if you're anything like me, some of the scores surprise you. And we're not much different. There's probably one, two teams in the country right now that I've seen that have been as consistent as you want them to be. And if you ask their coaches, they probably haven't been as consistent as they want them to be as well. They're just super strong.
The Wildcats are getting ready for a Saturday visit to Vanderbilt for an SEC matchup. His team's lack of consistency and poor play recently has Cincinnati Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis pondering some personnel moves. But Lewis says that's an ongoing process with any team. He notes that when you're not winning, it's not necessarily about how things are done as it is about who's doing those things.
Well, I think it's a combination. You know, it literally is a combination. But if we're not getting things done and executing properly, you know, is there someone else can do it better?
The 3-5 Bengals visit Tennessee on Sunday. With Kevin Brown retiring, Wes Carter is searching for a new head football coach for the first time in 22 years. Brown compiled a record of 97-137, making him the winningest coach in the school's history. But he says as of now, he's not sure who will be named to fill his shoes.
No. I've got some young guys on my staff, and I think two or three of those are interested. So, you know, I'm sure they'll make that decision by January, but I'm sure whoever they choose will be an excellent candidate.
The Comets were knocked out of the first round of the playoffs last week at Boyle County, 47-14. Looking ahead to the start of the 2017-18 season, Morehead State men's basketball coach Preston Spradlin says having two exhibition games was a good thing for his Eagles. With a roster that features 10 new players, all of which are newcomers to Division I basketball, Spradlin says his young guys got some important schooling.
They get a better understanding of how hard it is to win games at this level, and you cannot let up, and you can't get away from the details and the things that make you successful.
The MSU men open the season on Friday against number 17 Xavier, which returns four starters from last year's Elite Eight team. The Morehead State women's basketball team gets the season started on Saturday when they welcome Sacramento State into Johnson Arena. MSU head coach Greg Todd says he's been pleased with the work of his team this preseason.
I think we've had a very good off season, and the young ladies have worked very hard. It's going to be a strong year, I think, in the OVC. So we do have, you know, our work cut out for us, but could not have asked any more out of our young ladies than what they have given us.
Saturday's game is the first of four the Eagles will play in the Matthew Mitchell Classic. Today is the first day of the fall national signing period for college basketball. Kentucky's lone commit for the 2018 class, Emmanuel Quickley, who's ranked as the eighth best player in the class according to Scout.com, will sign his national letter of intent tomorrow with the Cats. He tells WLEX he thinks a few more of his fellow five-star recruits could be joining him in Lexington.
I definitely think there's a good chance they'll end up joining me actually pretty soon, you know. Basketball season's coming up, and I'm pretty sure most of them want to get it done before their basketball season starts, just so they can, you know, get it out the way.
The number one player in the class, RJ Barrett from Canada, will announce his college decision on Friday. He will be choosing between Duke, Kentucky, and Oregon. Finally in sports, Cincinnati Reds catcher Tucker Barnhart is excited about winning his first Gold Glove. Rawlings named Barnhart as one of the game's 18 best fielders last night. He's the first Reds catcher since Johnny Bench in 1977 to win a Gold Glove, which Barnhart says makes earning one even more special.
To be able to be mentioned as far as Cincinnati is concerned with someone as good as Johnny Bench was, arguably the best catcher of all time, he has 10 of them, it's just extremely special. And I'm just really happy that all the hard work that I put in with everybody with the Reds, for all that to be noticed, it means a ton.
At the plate this year, the 26-year-old Barnhart hit .270, adding 7 home runs and 44 RBIs. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Volleyball will host Austin Peay at 2 p.m. on Saturday, and women's basketball opens their season hosting Sacramento State at 6 p.m. on Saturday as well. You can get tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The S&P 500, the Dow, and NASDAQ all posted record closing highs as banks were down for a fourth straight day. And today's action didn't really cause huge moves in the market averages, but as mentioned, all three of the major indices were up, with the Dow Industrials finishing with a gain of 6.13 at 23,563.36. The S&P 500 was up 3.74 at 2594.38, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 21.33 at 6789.12. Bank shares fell broadly amid growing concerns that the recent Republican electoral losses could hinder the party's push to reform the U.S. tax code. There has also been pressure on banks by a flattening yield curve, and banks have been among your best performers since last year's election. The KBE Bank Exchange-Traded Fund itself is up 26% since Trump's election in November 2016, while the S&P 500 has gained 21% in that same time period. Wall Street looked back to President Trump's election, which happened exactly 1 year ago. Since his election, the major indices, as mentioned, are up more than 20%, and his election brought with it hopes of tax reform, which lifted investor sentiment. And some of the best-performing spaces since the election last year include aerospace and defense and technology, which those areas are up about 40% in that time span. The S&P 500 has also had one of its longest runs in decades since late last year, without a 3 or 5% decline. The post-election rally has also been marked by very low volatility. Last week, the CBOE Volatility Index broke below 9 for only the third time in history. In the commodities markets today, oil was down 0.625% at $56.83 a barrel. Gold was up 0.5% at $1,281.80 an ounce. In Europe, the Stoxx 600 index was down less than 0.1%, as markets were generally flat to just slightly negative. In Asia, more the same. The Nikkei index was down only about 0.1%, and in Hong Kong, the Hang Seng index was down 0.3%. In Shanghai, stocks managed to move up less than 0.1%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Merck and Walmart. The worst performers were J.P. Morgan and Caterpillar. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Activision, Blizzard, and H&R Block, and the worst performers were DaVita and CSRA. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 93 cents at 65.23, CSX down 33 cents at 51.49, AEP up 33 cents at 75.52, AK Steel down 4 cents at 4.21, Marathon Petroleum up 11 cents at 63.22, and Anthem was down 60 cents to finish at $216.87 a share. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio, serving Moorhead and surrounding communities with WIVY at 96.3 FM. All the programming of WIVY, music, news, and Moorhead State University football and basketball are available worldwide on WIVYradio.com. Apps available for both your Apple and Android devices. WIVY proudly supports Moorhead State University and Moorhead State Public Radio.
Taking another look at the weather, tonight partly cloudy with a low around 34, tomorrow sunny with a high near 54, tomorrow night mostly clear with a low around 28, Friday sunny with a high near 39, Friday night mostly clear with a low around 24, for your Veterans Day mostly sunny with a high near 48, Saturday night mostly cloudy with a low around 36, Sunday a 50% chance of showers, mainly after 8 a.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 52, and Sunday night a 40% chance of showers, mainly before 5 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 39. One more look at current temperatures. It is 49 degrees here in Moorhead, 48 degrees in Flemingsburg and Lexington.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Brandon Smith, Arlo Barnett, Kenzie Thompson, Cody Robinson, Kyle Blankenbuehler, and Braxton Howard. Our feature segment today came from Moorhead's own Adrian Swain. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202VH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Logan Pemberton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.